That guy's wrong. It's not the Joe Show. It's the City Limits Show for this segment anyway, because it's time for what? Do we have Ron saying it? I sure hope we do, because I miss him desperately.
Joe, you know that I always have you covered no matter what happens, and I know how much you miss Ron and how much you want to talk to Ron and how much you want to see Ron, so here's Ron.
Come one, come all for the wheel of ball.
He could have done that a little bit more enthusiastically, but for Ron, that was very enthusiastic. It tailed off at the end where you could tell he suddenly realized he was getting excited and he didn't want anybody to think that he really liked the Wheel of Ball. Play that again, because he's about to really, really let go here, and then he stifles it.
Come one, come all for the Wheel of Ball.
Bad ending, right?
Come one, come all for the Wheel of Ball.
It's like he's so excited, and then he realizes what's about to happen.
Yeah, that this was my baby, and that, well, let's just go on with it. You've injected new life into this segment, Limits. Let's go.
Oh, yes. All right, Joe, let's start with Chris Boswell being named AFC Special Teams Player of the Month. No surprise here.
Yeah.
Basically carried the Steelers to a win against Atlanta. Other than, what, the 62-yarder that he missed at home, he's been solid 11 for 12 on field goal attempts, including a long of 57.
Yeah, if only his head coach would let him try a 58 or 59-yarder at Indy. Mike Tomlin seems to be allergic to letting Boswell try long field goals in that particular stadium. What is happening here? Last year, he was down by 13 in the fourth quarter, maybe late in the third, and they were at the Colts 39 and Tomlin punted. This year, he punted from their 41. Would somebody please tell him that he has the most accurate long range, meaning 50 yards and beyond kicker in the history of professional football? Could somebody please inform him of that?
But I thought he liked to kick the long ball.
So did I. I guess just not in Indy.
Why is he not allowed? I mean, the fact that it is in Indy in a controlled environment, in a dome, where Boswell hasn't had any problems there before. Like, are they worried that the turf is too slick? I mean,
No, he banged a 50-yarder the other
exactly.
day. It would have been good from 70. What are we doing
it.
Here?
I don't
but
get it.
But Boswell deserves this. He is... I tried to type in his name here in Google, and it came up Brian Bosworth. You remember him from Oklahoma?
Oh, in Seattle was a bust. Was the linebacker.
What a legend.
In college. One of those guys, kind of
yes.
like Kajana Carter, and never figured it out in the NFL.
Brian Bosworth lasted over under 23 and a half games in the NFL.
Let's say under.
You're right. Actually, you're wrong.
Didn't he play like
He played
18?
24.
Was it? No, it was 24.
I'm sorry I said you were right when in fact I meant you. His rookie year, he forced two fumbles and had four sacks. Limitless wonder. And I think he had a bad shoulder. Who knows what happens to him? I mean, the only play anybody remembers from his pro career is him getting run over by Bo Jackson. Next.
Artie Smith is currently talking to the media. We'll have the sound soon. But one thing that Alan Saunders just put out is about Justin Fields.
Mm.
And Arthur Smith said that Fields really showed him something in the second half in the comeback against the Colts on Sunday, saying, quote, "It was pretty cool to watch. He dang near took the game over."
I agree. That to me, I went on Bob's Showdown that night and came in here the next day and said, almost unbelievably, I think the biggest takeaway from this game is Justin Fields took another huge step forward here. He was spectacular in the second half, and now we have Hokie and Trey Essex both saying that the big fumbled snap in the shotgun on the final series was not his fault. They took closer looks and they absolved him. So take away one big mistake. The other big one, he might have been down anyway. You can't be trying to make things happen, 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage. But still, there's a good chance that was a bad ruling. So add a little more to the Justin Fields fire here. Maybe his big mistakes weren't all that bad. Either way, he was spectacular. And if the question was, man, it's one thing to manage an offense like Kenny Pickett II. What's this guy going to do when they need points in a hurry? What's he going to do? He's going to throw and run all over the field. That's what he's going to do.
And I was, the one thing that I was so surprised by, Joe, because we had not seen this in probably 5 years, where if you're down by such a significant amount, I know they didn't win, if you're down by 17 points, can they mount a comeback? And watching Fields perform the way that he did, it was big play after big play. It's not like this was 10, 12 play drives.
What was Artie's quote again? Because I agree with it.
What Arthur?
That he was dang near what?
Arthur Smith said that Justin Fields took over the game. Yes.
Holy
dang
horse.
Near took the game over.
Holy horse follicles. I agree with him. I think this is tremendous.
Well, you lead three consecutive touchdown drives, and if there's not that miscommunication or Najee Harris runs out of bounds, then you're probably tying the game. I was stunned that they didn't tie the game at the end there.
I woke up in the middle of the night with extreme caffeine-induced anxiety, and much in my drinking days, I've decided that the solution to that is to get back on the horse. Something about the hair of the dog.
Yes, the hair of the dog.
It doesn't seem like a good solution to go right back to it, because even though you get an initial jolt, it's going to be 10 times worse tonight when I'm sleeping. I'm in a vicious cycle. That's beside the point. Go ahead.
Well, it's been a frequent topic on this show this week. Minka Fitzpatrick, where are the big plays? He has not had an interception in 2 years. What about forced fumbles?
2 years.
Where are they? Well, Terrell Austin was asked about it, and he said today that the splash will come. I'm not going to get bent out of shape about that.
Well, I want to hear Terrell Austin more than I want to hear Artie today, honestly, and I want to hear him about that. I want to hear him expound on that. He was quoted by Dr. Michael DeFabo before the season as saying, basically, Austin said, we failed by not putting Minka at his natural center field position last year, not putting him in position to make plays. That's got to change. So the natural question today after he says that is, are you deploying him differently? Is he in position to make plays? Because the other thing I hear is, oh, well, nobody's throwing over the top anyway. Anthony Richardson was. On first down of the first series, he went 42 yards down the field. On first down of his second series, he went 28 yards down the field. So this Minka thing is disturbing, is what it is. This guy hasn't had an interception since Mulsey had hair, as I like to say. And to go back to his fumble, last fumble recovery, you have to go back to Ron Cook in high school to find that thing. It's like 2020 or something ridiculous. He's supposed to be a turnover maker. Now, he did crack Richardson on the back the other day. Am I wrong about this? I think Elliott got credit for the forced turnover. Yeah. I would swear in a court of law that Minka cracking Richardson on the spine is what popped the football loose. I could be wrong about that. He didn't get credit for a forced fumble.
No, I think he probably should have. Now, it seems like one thing that was so common about Troy Polamalu, and people were not comparing Troy and Minka when he was in this first season and creating all the turnovers, the six interception season, but he was playing so much more near the box and a lot closer to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, now, I'm paying him to be an Ed Reed-like center fielder. I'm not paying him to be Bob Spillane, and I know he can fill and he can hit and all that stuff. That ain't why I'm making him the highest paid and now maybe the third highest paid safety in the game. It's to be not Ed Reed, but something along those lines. An elite center fielder who changes games. And I'm sorry, but he's not doing it anymore. I don't know if it's their fault or his fault. Likely a combination of the two, but I'm not paying him all that money to be Bob Spillane.
Well, and it seems like a lot of the areas where opposing teams are throwing the football, either Minka is on the opposite side of the field or he's deep enough where he's the last line of defense to make a tackle.
I'm not saying you said this, but the crap I keep hearing is, oh, they're afraid of Minka. They stay away from him. What? They gave up a ton of big pass plays last season. They attacked the Steelers down the field. Didn't they? Am I wrong about that?
Think about that Raiders game again with Devontae Adams, who shredded the Steelers in that game in Vegas.
Right. I'm simply not buying that everybody's afraid of Minka, so he never gets an interception anymore. I'm not buying it. My computer just ran out. Dead on arrival.
Just like your phone almost every day.
Yeah, why do I come in every day with an uncharged... I'll tell you why I do. because my daughter steals, two things disappear in our house. It's unreal how this happens. Where does it go? Socks and chargers. They disappear. Although, when I went and looked under her bed about 2 months ago, it's like the land of lost chargers. There was like seven of them. They're expensive. Do you know that?
Are you getting Five Below chargers, or are you getting chargers from the actual store?
From the Apple store.
Well, why aren't you getting like a Five Below charger?
Either way, they're being lost, and I don't know where they are, except I found a bunch under her bed, and then she yells at me that I'm stealing her chargers. First of all, technically, none of them are hers because I buy all of them. They're all mine, but I can't find any of them. That's beside the point. Please continue.
From Warren Sharp on the Steelers' run defense, they've been trying to charge up this run game, Joe. The run defense that they faced, Broncos, Colts, Chargers, Falcons.
Yeah.
What do the last three teams have in common that they faced? They're all top seven in the league in run defense. Broncos fourth in the league. Colts are sixth. The Chargers are seventh. It's the number one toughest schedule of run defenses faced by any team this year. Mm. The Cowboys are 27th in run defense. Now, the Colts obviously has gotten better at run defense. They were bad for a large portion of the year, but then really kind of, I know it's an early part of the year, but they've gotten better in the last couple of weeks, and it's so early, the numbers can be skewed. But is that partly, you think, one reason why maybe Najee Harris has not done well? And then the Raiders are 30th in run defense. Washington's last, and they're coming up on the schedule in a couple of weeks.
What the hell are you talking about? You just said 90 different things. What's your question?
The question is, could this be the reason why, or is this maybe not an excuse, but an explanation as to why Najee Harris hasn't been able to run very well?
I don't think he was bad in the first three games. He averaged 70 yards a game. I'm not expecting him to be Eric Dickerson. He was horrible in the last game. But no, it's not an explanation. No, it's not. If you want more from Najee, you're probably not getting it. He is who he is. It is what it is. And all those other cliches.
You expect them to run wild against the Cowboys?
Yes, the Cowboys are soft. They're softer than a Baltimore crab. They're softer than Malzi in a craft beer house. They stink defensively. I watched the Bills run all over them last year. I watched the Packers run all over them in a playoff game. Were they the worst run defense in football last year?
They were.
Malzi?
If not, they were.
I mean, Pony?
I mean, they were really,
who are you?
They were very close, if so.
Yeah, they stink is the bottom line. In fact, I'm going to look that up in a second here. They absolutely stink. And they're missing players, I might add. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah, half their defense is hurt. Their two best pass rushers are hurt. Bland's hurt.
Well, Micah Parsons isn't bad against the run either. The Cowboys, they were in the middle of the league last year in run defense. But by the end, they were horrific. I mean, they can't stop anything. So if your question is, do I expect the Steelers to run on them? Yes, whether it's Cordarrelle Patterson, Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, if he's back, or the substitute teacher guy. What's his name? Did you read that story?
Aaron Shamklin.
Shamklin. He went straight from substitute teaching to the Steelers backfield. Did you know I used to be
that.
A substitute teacher?
No. Where were you teaching?
Pittsburgh,
was it around here?
Pittsburgh City Schools. Something like $55 a day. I was in Peabody. I was in South. I was in a bunch of different places. And was horrible at the job, you know, just horrible. You get the call at like 6:30 or 7 in the morning. You need to be out at this school today. And I was trained to teach English and writing. And that doesn't matter when you're a sub. They'll put you in a band class. They'll put you in any kind. I once had a band class at some middle school in, I think it was in Squirrel Hill. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Sitting here. Everybody has an instrument. I'm not going to teach some kid his tuba lesson today. What am I doing here? You're basically babysitting.
You put on a video and said, here's Mozart. Try to learn whatever you can.
Yeah. I mean, I was trained for one thing. And every once in a while, I get to go into a class and, you know, we do some writing or something like that. But most of the time, I was in a class that I was not trained to teach. And I was horrible at it. And the money was horrible. And I quit. I quit after a couple of months realizing that I wasn't cut out for that. But I also, much like raising my daughter, realized very quickly, oh, this is karma. This is what karma looks like, isn't it? How I acted when I was growing up with my parents, that's what I'm getting a taste of all the time now, right? How I acted toward substitute teachers, that's how these kids are acting toward me. Karma, buddy.
Would you make fun of the substitute teachers? I would always try to befriend the substitute teachers so that I would not have to do anything.
Yes, one was Mrs. Newthart, and needless to say, we called her Mrs. Newfart. Things like that came back to haunt me later.
You dog, you. Lamar Jackson says that Mark Andrews is being a team player right now. Andrews has been pretty ineffective.
He sucks, and he's on my fantasy team, and I thought he was still elite because I forgot about Isaiah Likely. And is he on our team?
I thought that you were an elite fantasy player that could do no wrong and question my decision-making.
Your decision-making, you put together a 2-2 team that's coming off a loss and is in fifth place. You're not exactly... Bobby Bethard here. Well, you're not exactly Ernie Accorsi or Bill Belichick.
There are 12 teams in our league, and our depth has been questioned a little bit with injuries. Mark Andrews, though, in four games, has 6 catches for 65 yards.
Did you draft him?
No.
Who's our tight end?
We have Evan Engram.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah,
your team sucks.
Evan Engram, and we also have... not Dallas Goedert. That's another team that I have.
We can't even remember who our tight ends
Gesicki.
Are. I think that speaks to the level of talent.
Mike Gesicki put up 16 points for us 2 weeks ago and 8 the other day. But he
Mike Gesicki, if you told me he retired 8 years ago, I wouldn't blink an eye. Why did you draft him?
He won us a week. I didn't draft him. I picked him up off the waiver wire because we had an injury for Evan Engram.
Who's our quarterback? Aiden O'Connell? Mike Gesicki?
How about Jordan Love and Justin Fields?
Justin Fields is a nice fantasy quarterback.
Like those apples, and we're waiting for Nick Chubb to come off the pup list. He was just activated yesterday,
I love Nick Chubb. I respect him, you know, and I think all Steelers fans do, even though he plays for the hated Browns. He's a great player. But I have a hard time believing. I hope I'm wrong. I honestly do. Even though it's the Browns, I hope I'm wrong. But that injury was so, like, disgusting.
Yeah.
And so serious that I'm going to be stunned if he's anywhere like he was. I hope he is. Like I said, I hope he is, but I'm going to be stunned if he is.
Yeah, I was at the game when the injury occurred in the section right by the injury. It was tough to just watch the entire proceedings of them getting him off the field.
But... Do you know who the worst run defense was last year? Wrong. The Cardinals. Do you know who the worst scoring defense was last year?
The Cowboys.
Wrong. The Commanders. Do you know who the best scoring defense was last year?
The Cowboys.
Wrong. The Cowboys? They stunk.
No, I'm just throwing the Cowboys out there for every answer now.
I like that. The Ravens. Do you know who the best passing defense was?
The 49ers.
Wrong. The Browns. The historically great Browns, who were the worst red zone defense in all of football but swept the postseason awards even though they sucked. Who was the worst passing defense? Wrong. The Commanders. Why am I asking you this? Because I'm stoned on coffee and I don't care anymore. 4 games into the season, who's the best scoring defense this year?
The Steelers.
Wrong. The Chargers. Who's the worst scoring defense? Wrong. The Panthers. You have to answer within 2 seconds or I say wrong. Who's the best rushing defense since you're so into that stat?
I think the best rushing defense so far has been the Chargers.
Wrong. The Ravens. Who's the worst rushing defense?
Probably Wrong. Arizona.
Probably Arizona. Whenever someone says something bad in the NFL, probably Arizona is a good
Arizona
answer.
Or Cleveland.
It's the Rams, and the Bills also suck, I might add. What are we doing? Oh, the next topic.
We're trying to get back on track with the wheel.
Go ahead. Who leads the league in turnover margin? Limits.
The Packers.
Very good. Plus 6. Who has the worst turnover margin?
The Panthers.
Wrong. The Titans.
Well, yeah. Will Levis throwing the ball behind him. Throwing that one. He's falling to the ground. We'll just throw it up for grabs.
The answer to that question. Yeah, right. The answer to that question, who has the worst turnover margin, should have just been Will Levis. Go ahead.
According to our friend Mark Cabali. No, it wasn't. It's his sources, the big Cabali sources, are saying that the Steelers are eyeing the Jets game prime time to get Alex Highsmith back from his groin injury that he suffered against the Chargers in week three. And after watching Nick Herbig's performance against the run last week, where I think he was okay, but did not make much of an impact against the pass, want to see some more from him, but it's going to be a welcomed addition to get Alex Highsmith back. I don't want to judge on just one game, but I said Nick Herbig was probably better as a pass rusher than Alex Highsmith, and right now I have to eat those words.
Yeah, eat him good, because I think we realized last week, you know, Hokie said Herbig graded out okay, probably better than Hokie thought right after the game, but Alex Highsmith is a really good all-around linebacker. I love Herbig right now as your, you know, your secret weapon coming off the bench as a pass rusher, but I want Alex Highsmith in games. All right, to finish up that other one, who had the best rushing defense in any season in NFL history?
The 85 Bears.
Wrong. The 2000 Ravens set records for the fewest points allowed and the fewest rushing yards allowed in a 16-game season. Whoops, you're right. It was a 16-game season. It was the Bears. But guess what? No, it was the Bears. Forget it. You were right, and I apologize. Which unit was the worst rushing defense ever?
Oh, man. I'm going to say Carolina in some year.
Wrong. It was... Oh, this is the worst rushing offense. Who's the worst rushing offense in one season? Wrong. The Philadelphia Eagles. They averaged 0.9 yards a carry.
Well, is this 1946?
Yeah, Ron was their beat writer. They averaged 0.9 yards a season. It was 1940. And 27 yards a game. Can you believe that, Limitless Wonder?
What were their scrimmage yards? Did they throw the football? Did you ever see that video at the goal line from like 1910? Of them trying to throw the football, and the quarterback throws it with two hands, and it's
yes,
knocked down.
Like a chest pass in basketball. I don't know. Now I'm interested. Were these the Steagles? When did they become the Steagles? The 1940 Eagles were 1-10. Their coach was Burt Bell, who later would become commissioner. The stadium was Scheib Park. And they played the Steelers that year, and they won. It was their only win. It was their only win, 7-0. Do you know where that game was played, Limits?
If it wasn't at Scheib Park? Forbes Field?
Wrong. Their quarterback was Davey O'Brien, and their leading running back was Dick Riffle. Dick Riffle, it was the worst. Maybe that's why they were the worst running team of all time. Their best running back was Dick Riffle. He had 238 yards on 81 carries.
What a great average that is, huh?
He did have four touchdowns to mitigate that, and he made eight catches for 58 yards, Dick Riffle. Do you know where Dick Riffle went to college?
Syracuse.
Wrong. Albright. He was drafted in the second round. He's a Pennsylvania native, and he lived later in life in Corning, New York, which is the nation's capital for glass blowing. Did you know that?
Wow. what a unique fact right there you have.
I'm dead serious.
He would have fit in Glassport.
I've been to Corning, and you can walk up to the windows where there's glass blowing happening.
All kind of glass.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So his full name, Fred Richard Riffle, early in life becomes Dick Riffle. Not a notable career, I might add. Oh, my God, he played for the Steelers.
He really likes when the water riffles on a nice summer day.
His favorite Grateful Dead song is Riffle. Listen, he came to the Steelers in 1941, and he was pretty good. 467 yards, four touchdowns, and 4.1 yards per carry. Riffle was rejuvenated. That might have been a headline that year under Ron's column.
Riffle rejuvenated.
Riffle rejuvenated with Steelers. Dick Riffle takes over the backfield. I'm guessing Ron had the only one-on-one interview with him. Tragically, I spent a portion of last night practicing my new Mulsey song that goes along with the Rick Springfield song. Wanting it to be better than that. And I thought of which words I should accent. And it's I've and everything and Mulsey. And then there needs to be a pause before the next voice comes in. And it needs to be, the next voice needs to be very different from the first one. It needs to be soft and lilted, if you know what I mean. There has to be a little tremor or treble or whatever the word is in there. So it's something like this if I were to practice. I've done everything for Mosey. He's done nothing for me. Do you get that?
What are you, a hit with the orchestra? Like, what are you?
That was actually what I'm shooting. See that? I'm heartened by that because if you practice something, it should get better.
Yes, you should.
And I think that, did you tape that? Can you tape that? That was the one. I accented the words I meant to accent. I've, everything, and Mulsey. Then there was the dramatic pause. And then the second voice came in very different. Soft and lilted, and that, and there was a little tremor in there that you heard. So I just wanted you to know that. I don't know why.
Broadway will be calling your name any day now, Joe. Did you ever wait for the phone call?
See, I think that you have had those inclinations, and I think you would have been good at that. Were you in plays or anything in high school?
No plays. My sisters were, but not me. No plays.
You would be great at that.
At what? Being like an actor?
Yes.
I'd love, honestly.
Being on stage, I think you're built for that.
Honestly, I'd love to be an actor. Plays, I don't think so, but I'd love to act. I think that'd be great.
I think you would be good. I think you have that kind of personality and maybe even that kind of talent. You should try that.
We need to get me on a reality TV show.
Can adults like us get into, like, are there extra spots at the Pittsburgh Playhouse? Could you and I be in a play?
Maybe as an extra. As like the last line of defense as an extra, yeah, maybe.
I mean, I don't want to be a chair or something. I'd like to have a line. Do you think we could do that?
Maybe. Maybe we'd have a little bit more pull, but...
Because of who you are.
I'm talking about because of who you are.
Hold on here. Tryouts for the Pittsburgh Playhouse. Auditions. Memorization is not required. To submit a video audition, families must complete an electronics form. That might be for kids. The Pittsburgh Playhouse at Point Park. We should try this, Limits. Let's you and I try to be in a play or on stage in some form. Are you willing to do that?
I've done everything for Mosey. He's done nothing for me.
The second voice is perfect. I nailed it. And that's what I'm talking about. You and I are forging a very special partnership.
We are.
We went to Pitt the other day to play volleyball with Olivia Babcock, who no joke, might be the best volleyball player in the nation.
And that video should come out in the next couple of days, I think, or so. Maybe next week.
Go to 937thefan.com to check that out. That was a lot of fun. We're going to turn that into On the Road with Austin and Joe, where we'll be taking sports challenges from colleges and high schools around Western Pennsylvania. I feel comfortable saying that. And I think also that we should take auditions at different theaters, different playhouses, Pittsburgh Public Theater, Pittsburgh Playhouse. I don't even know if they're different, but if they are, you and I are going to be on stage, big boy. Okay, we're going to try that. You ready?
I will accept. I don't know what we're going to do. Like, we got to go out there on a scene of cats and just try to blend in a little bit.
Yeah, something like that. I think if we had a line, that would be unbelievable.
We have to get me on Big Brother, Joe.
The problem is we have to show up for the practices, right?
Yeah.
But
I don't think
that's
going to be feasible.
I think it'll be very feasible. On your way home, we stop by the Pittsburgh Playhouse. Steelers, Cowboys. Listen, there's no arguing what Mike Tomlin said the other day. These are a couple of iconic franchises. All you have to do is look at the uniforms, look at the helmets, look at the logos. It's the silver, blue, and white, the Cowboys star against black and gold. Those helmets, those histories, those legacies, those Super Bowls. I don't know that there's another sports franchise anywhere that fills opposing stadiums like Steeler Nation. There's nothing like that, at least nothing as good as that. And then the Cowboys, I was just reading a piece this morning, a couple of years ago, they were voted the most lucrative brand in all of sports, in all the world. So there's no denying that. It's a big deal when Steelers and Cowboys play, but there's also no denying that these teams, these franchises, have slipped. The Cowboys, since beating the Steelers in 1995 in the Super Bowl, have never had a win past the wild card round. 1995 is a long time ago. They've never gotten back to a conference title game. I mean, if we tune in, that's not going to stop the fact that if we tune into ESPN on a random Tuesday in May, they'll be talking off the lead of their show about Dak Prescott's future because their analytics show them that the Cowboys sell. That's a fact. At the same time, the Chiefs have passed the Cowboys as the most watched team in America based on average viewership. The Steelers weren't even in the top 10 last year. Maybe because they never scored a touchdown. As bad as the Cowboys have been, or as far from a championship as they've been, is a better way to say that, since 95, at least they've won a couple playoff games lately. You can't say the same about the Steelers. 7 years, which is longer than Jimmy Johnson was in Dallas, forging a Hall of Fame career, 7 years without a playoff win. At least the Cowboys won one, was it last year, 2 years ago, and won in 18. At least they have a couple lately. This franchise has nothing lately. 7 years. So as undeniable as it is that Tomlin spoke the truth the other day, that you can't put a price tag on standards and legacies, and both organizations have that, that's just flat out true, it's equally true that both have slid. Big picture, long range, the Cowboys have slid worse. Short range, the Steelers have. And I'm not sure when the next time is that one of these teams is going to make a postseason run. I have more confidence that could be the Steelers this year than the Cowboys. They seem kind of broken at the moment. Feels like Jerry Jones has basically destroyed that franchise. Would you agree with that?
100%. He's their owner, GM, president, all the above. Like, sometimes there's just too much power. Like, we really saw Belichick get overwhelmed with that in New England.
Yeah.
When he was pretty much running Brady out of town and wanting to roll with Jimmy Garoppolo, and he wasn't drafting well, and everything was just mixing too much together. And we've seen that with Jerry Jones for 20 years. But since he's the guy up top, nothing is going to be done about it. And that's why the Cowboys are so stagnant.
They are now decades long in the process of making one terrible decision after another. None worse than using their first round pick in 2017, late in the first round, when they needed a pass rusher. They had Taco Charlton and TJ Watt on the board. And guess who the Cowboys took? I don't have to tell you, do I, Limits?
Taco Charlton from Michigan.
And Jerry Jones still regrets that, as he should. But before we laugh too hard at the Cowboys, let's realize that TJ Watt, through no fault of his own, is going to turn 30 next Friday and has zero playoff wins. More accurately, he's participated in zero playoff wins. Like I said, through, because I don't want to make it sound like he's responsible. It ain't his fault. But he is about to turn 30, and he is in danger of becoming this generation's Dick Butkus. A legendary all-time great who never participates in a playoff win in his entire career. So before we laugh too hard at Jerry Jones for taking Taco Charlton, we also need to acknowledge the state of the Steelers. They haven't built a good enough team to win a playoff game with TJ Watt around. It's a long time since 1978, technically 79, when these two teams hooked up for a football game that possibly featured the most talent ever combined on one field, not to mention the sidelines in the press box upstairs, and I'm not talking about Ed Bouchette, although he was very good at what he did. I'm talking about scouts and executives, you know, take your pick. Bill Nunn, Tex Schramm, Gil Brandt, anybody named Rooney, all of that. But you also had both coaches, Tom Landry, Chuck Knoll, and 13 starters from both teams, and probably about five more who have a great case. 13 starters in that 35-31 Steelers win, January 21st, 1979 at the Orange Bowl, went on to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. How about that?
That's one of the most decorated matchups.
I think the most, unless somebody comes up with a better one. I think that particular game featured more talent on the field than any football game ever played. And the Cowboys, if they win one of those two Super Bowls against the Steelers, then the teams have to split honors from the 70s because they each would have had three. If the Cowboys win both, then the Cowboys are the team of the 70s. Instead, the Steelers wouldn't let that happen. Probably seven of their most iconic plays from the 70s were against the Cowboys in Super Bowls, including, if you want to call it a play, Jack Lambert body slamming Cliff Harris. Joe Green once told me that while the Raiders were the team that pushed us to great heights, I think was his quote, it was the Cowboys that sealed their legacy. Those Steelers hated the fact that the Cowboys were the self-proclaimed America's team. And they basically vaulted themselves off the Cowboys' backs and into immortality is what they did.
The America's team thing is just dumb to me. It really is. Like, it was given to them by NFL Films and just basically took on a life of its own because the Steelers passed.
Well, they certainly would have been if those two Super Bowls go differently, but they didn't. Larger point being, man, we're a long ways from that with these two franchises and these two teams right now.